As I said, just be in prayer about, now that it's on tape, the Amsterdam 2000. Be in prayer in regard to the outreach and the opportunities and things related. And we will have the Amsterdam Sunday night here on July the 16th. And so please bear that in mind and be in prayer about that. Okay, I had some visitors come through from Ohio Sunday, Monday. And, you know, what are we here for on Earth? We studied the circles, the four major categories of lists, and these give people their different momentum. Some that we are here to be very righteous. Some we are here at what the big issue is. And this is true in a lot of, especially Bible church people. The whole issue is your doctrine. Your doctrine. What your doctrine is, and learning that doctrine, and this type of thing. But other people are just as obsessed with doing the rituals. I mean, we're just in a, my background is those who are obsessed with doing and learning doctrine. That's one list that we can have. And we think that's the big deal, is learning doctrine. But there are other people that the big deal is living a moral and righteous or pure life. And that's the obsession. That's the main. It doesn't matter about the doctrine and these things. It matters about the purity. And then other people that we studied and looked at, it's the emotional experience that you have in your relationship with God. With other people, it's really none of those things. It's the service. And it's not that it's not any of these things, but the main thing is service. That's the main thing. I mean, each group will have a segment of the other, but the main thrust of the Christian life, this is what our time on earth is about, is what I'm trying to talk about. What is our day in and day out life about? And just in our marriages, in our single life, living wherever we live, in Dallas or wherever you live, what, you know, used to be a movie a long time ago, What's It All About, Alfie? I didn't see the movie, but I remember the title. What's it about? What's it about? What is Christianity about? And what is our being here as Christians about? And, you know, we could add other things, and there are other people who, the whole thing is rituals. They got their rituals and doing their sacraments, and that's the main thing. I mean, if you do that, you're okay. You're in there with God and this type of thing. So, what's it all about? Work, marriage, family, money, health, life. You know, whether we live 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, whatever we live, what is the whole thing about? And I think if we're on the right track, and what we're seeing going on in Scripture, if we're on the right track of all of this, what we're about and what's going on is the demonstration by God of His love. The demonstration of God of His love and the impartation of His life. I'm becoming very aware in our study in John 5 of, if we took John 5 and just summed it up into what Jesus Christ about in that whole thing, what I have come to do, He has come to give life, God's life. Not just eternal life as life having it. Not, what I'm trying to say is it is not just a matter of giving life like we might think of it in birth, where the mother gives life to a child. Okay, that's it, a given life. No, we're talking about giving a quality of life. Giving eternal life, God's life, in our daily life. And so the intrusion of this is sin. Now, we start off with the unbeliever, with us not even in the plan. Then, when we accept Jesus Christ as Savior, now we want to move into this whole thing of loving as Christ loved that we're studying on Tuesday nights in our momentum study. But the intrusion of that is sin. And many people, pastors and people make a big thing about sin and the horrors of sin. And people's sin intrudes on all of this. But I want to remind you, in 1 John, I love what John's done here. John is not a sort of a mechanic type of teacher. John doesn't teach, that's more Paul. John deals more with just the putting forth of truth and truthful points. And the first thing said about sin in the epistle of 1 John deals with recovery from it. How the blood of Jesus Christ keeps on cleansing from this. He just jumps right to that. And now we move to 1 John 1:8, and I like to make some progress. We spend some time talking, and I don't mind that. I love what we just were doing, just talking, and that's very important. We don't get to do a whole lot of that, and that's part of what the assembly is about, just coming together and sharing and talking together. But what we're dealing with is a denial of sin, and there are a lot of ways in which Christians deny. There's, of course, what we're dealing with in context, just the denial of sin itself. But a lot of times Christians are in denial that what they're doing is a sin. Now, most Christians will not deny, for example, blatant things like stealing. We know that's a sin. But a lot of times Christians will gossip, malign, function in arrogance, do a lot of things that are sin and be in denial that this is wrong. And so there are a lot of things. And then there are categories of sin that people just deny, no, that's not a sin. The way they treat one another, the way they treat their husband, their wife. Well, in fact, it is. And so we're dealing with a denial factor. And we have looked at Roman numeral 1, and the one reason that people are in denial is a false view of God, and therefore they fear, out of fear of God. They have a false view of God that God is going to get them. This led us to Roman numeral 2, and Roman numeral 2 in this study was, where did this fundamental view of God come from, that we should fear Him if we sin and we should run from Him? And this took us to Satan, a study of Satan from the garden. From that point, he came in and disrupted and gave this thought to man. And so tonight, now we're going to move. We saw where it began, the study. What I'm doing, taking our time, because I'm in no hurry here. Where, you know, we should be moving on. But this is fundamental. This denial thing is not just a problem in 1 John. This goes all the way back to the garden. That's what I wanted to show you. So we're dealing with the denial from a false view of God, a fear of God, a dread of God, the fear being a dread of God, that God is going to take away your eternal life. And there are a lot of people who believe you can lose your salvation. That basically is not a view about sin. That is a view about God. If someone says you can lose your salvation, and they may say, I have the right view of sin, they have a false view of God, because God gives salvation. So if you say you can lose salvation, you're making a statement about God, not about sin. So this took us to Roman number 2, how where this began in the garden, the view of God from Satan. And now we're ready for Roman number 3 in this process. And what I want to do, and if you think your way through this, you would guess this and see it. So what we've done, let's see where we are in this study of denial. So we're dealing with the denial of sin. And this is a major problem. In James, they blame God for their sin. In Corinth, they didn't care about their sin. So a lot of things go on. So we looked at 1, we looked at the fear of God. And then 2, we went back to the garden. And this is the very beginning. The very beginning is where this thing started. Right there in the garden. Now, just for fun, what do you think I'm going to go to look at this whole thing of denial of sin and a view of God, this false view of God? What two places do I like to always go to? Do we like to go to? We like to go to the beginning of garden, and then what else? So, first book written. And I still present to you how essential that is for you to remember. This is Job is the first book written. It's the first thing God wanted us to know. So Roman numeral 3 in our study here, Job has the same view of God from Job's three friends. Job's three friends have the same view of God, that God is going to take away stuff. If you're bad, God's going to get you. And that's Job's three friends. That's, if we take a broad paintbrush, that's Job's three friends. They have a false view of God. And if we looked immediately, we could look at near the end, and what does it say? It said, because your friends did not speak truthfully concerning me. Concerning me. So if we look through all the things that they said, they were wrong in what? Their view of God. People, your view of God is essential to everything you and I do. And so let's take a running look here at Job in this study. Because Job's three friends have the same view of God that we saw from the garden, that we're seeing in 1 John chapter 1. And why are we seeing it this way? People, because this is common to man all the way through Scripture, all the way through history. This is the issue in Genesis. This is throughout the book of Job. It's throughout the Scriptures. It's in the world today. What they said to Job was, Job, you've done something wrong. You've sinned against God. God is going to get you. That's what is happening now. God is getting you. You get what you deserve. This is what kind of God he is. That's basically their view of God. What is the whole thing to Job? They're saying to Job, Job, better rise up to God. And let me tell you about God. He's a God that he's going to get you. If you do bad, then God is going to be bad to you. And that's what all these things are. And if you do good, with the idea of being like us, if you do good, then good things are going to happen to you. And while we're here, we've already been on this journey. The ideal is, if you're bad, bad things, good, good things. And you know how common this is? Some things will happen in life, and, well, you know, I deserve that, and da-da-da-da-da, I was doing this, and they deserve that. And we find ourselves going into the flesh thinking, because this is flesh thinking. This is flesh thinking. This is thinking from the tree of the good and evil. This is thinking from law. This type of thinking. Now, if we look at the truth of the matter is, if we look at the truth, what we're going to find out, good, if you're good, Jesus Christ was the perfect one, and look what happened to him. Bad things. He hung on a cross. And we, all mankind, are bad, and yet look what happens to us. Good happens to us. Bad happens to Jesus Christ. Good happens to us, the gospel. And then, if you come down here as a believer, and you become righteous, if we want to use that concept, you're living the Spirit-filled life, then you can bet on one thing, so we can put good here. You can count on one thing in the world, bad things are going to happen to you. So what we're finding out, in truth, it just doesn't work the way it does from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It doesn't work the way it does from the law. That's not the way God works. So this is what is going on. So this bothers Job. This bothered Job because Job did not know God accurately either. So Job starts having problems with what they're saying about God. So Job concluded that if he was good and he considered himself good, God is going to bless. And if you're bad, God is going to discipline. Look at Job. Look at Job, and let's see if we can just show you really, really quickly what's happened with Job. We can pick it up in Job 30. Let's see here, Job 33, I think. Just bear with me here, and we will... Okay, Ben Elihu, and we do want Elihu here, and 32. Job 32. We can get a feel of what's really going on. Then these three men ceased answering Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. See, there's Job's problem. Job's problem, and that's why I told you, Job 1:1 is not Job's praise. Job 1:1 is Job's problem. And what Job's problem is that in Job's own eyes, Job thinks he's great. Job thinks he is so righteous. And bad things are happening to him. And so what happened was, since bad things were happening to him, he blamed God. He's in denial about his own self. He thinks he's great. He thinks he's great, and he's having a lot of problems with his view of God. So, Job 32, then the three men ceased answering Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. But the anger of Elihu, now Elihu is a Christ type in this. Elihu is speaking, as it were, in like the three friends were speaking for Satan. Elihu is speaking in regard to Christ. But the anger of Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite of the family of Ram, burned against Job. His anger burned because he, Job, justified himself before God. He's in denial. He's justifying himself with God. He's angry at God. God isn't doing right. I got this view of God. God, I'm good. You're supposed to be good to me. And you're not good to me, and therefore he becomes angry at God. Many people are angry at God, and I'll tell you why they're angry at God. They're angry at God because they've got a false view of God. If I will do this, then God will do that, and then God doesn't come through. That's so dangerous. That's why I have problems with people who tell people about, oh, you got to pray and pray and pray. Well, I prayed, and God didn't answer. God did what he wanted to do, so I'm very angry at God. They become disillusioned about prayer. And then you got people using even faith. So you got to trust God. Well, I trusted God and he didn't save my marriage, or he didn't save me from this disease, or he didn't save somebody I love from the disease. So they become angry at God. It's not just a matter of prayer, and it's not just a matter of faith. It's what are you trusting God to do? And if you come up with the wrong things about God in your view of God, you're going to be very angry at God. Let me just promise you that. You're going to be angry at God if he doesn't come through according to your view. That's why you want to reach the point where Job's going on his journey. I just trust you. You are God. You are doing things, and I trust you. I sometimes don't understand, but I trust you. Okay, verse 2. But the anger of Elihu, the son of Barak, the Buzite family of Ram, burned against Job. His anger burned because he justified himself before God. Now, if we take verse 1, he was righteous in his own eyes, and from that, he justified himself before God. See how the two phrases go together. And this is what he does before God. I am really a wonderful person, Job 1:1, and you, God, are not doing it right. And so we become very discouraged, disillusioned with God, and we come up with all kinds of things. If you have a wrong view of God, you'll go into fear about God, denial of sin, and have all kinds of problems with your relationship with God. Verse 3, and his anger burned against his three friends because they had found no answer and yet had condemned Job. And so we get a little bit of the understanding about Job. Job concluded that if you're good, God blesses. If you're bad, God disciplines. Job knew that he had not sinned in his own eyes, yet his friends tried to convince him that he was in sin. And this is why Job was having all this trouble. People, that's a false view of God. And our view of God day in and day out, in living day in and day out. You know, we're talking a lot about sin because sin is our context. Sin is our context. But let's just talk about, I do good. You know, some people have the wrong view about what God does with sin. Okay, if you sin, God's really going to get you, take away your salvation, do this, not bless, all this type of thing. No, he's made a way of restoration. But let's go the other way, just for a moment. Job, his whole deal is how wonderful I am, and God isn't coming through. So you can have a false view of God from that perspective. Boy, if I just do everything right. You know what this is very close to? Job is very close to, while he calls it a righteous life, he's very close to what we studied in 1 Corinthians 13, 1-3, a life without love. Remember? Is all those things that he was doing? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And you, if you think that just because you did those things that God's going to bless you, what are you going to do? You're going to be angry with God. Wait a minute, God. What do we have there? I have a gift of language, and even the language of angels. I know all mystery. I know all doctrine. I give everything I have to feed the poor. I do all of these things. And God says, I didn't mean anything. It's empty. Well, what are we going to do? Going to become angry at God. Going to become angry at God. If you just take somebody picking a very popular name, I'm not judging her. I have no idea. I'm not her judge. I want to make a point. But let's just say Sister Teresa is a cliche word around the world of good. I think we'd all agree. That's the cliche word about sacrificial life. Let's just say for a moment that her whole life was spent out of the power of the Spirit. It was not in the power of the Spirit. It was all from the flesh. Wasted life. Well, you can hear the protest. What do you mean, wasted life? You're going to tell me all that she did is just wasted like some bum out there, some Christian that lives in sin? Same result. Nothing. That's hard to take. That's really hard to digest mentally. How can you say that? That's what I'm trying to show you. What is your view of God here? Is just the doing what God is looking for? Or is there something else going on? So Job knew that he was wonderful, and yet he's having all this trouble. He has a false view of God. Job's friends perverted, they had a perverted view of God. Their view of God was, same thing as Job's was, their idea was, if something bad happens to you, it means you've done bad. God is against you, and he's going to severely punish you. So Job's three friends came against Job, and convinced Job of this false view. Job had a false view of God. They all had a false view of God. Job himself demonstrated the whole thing just from a different perspective than even they did. So the study of Job is also a study of a false view of God. Okay, that brings us to point four. I guess we'll start with that next Wednesday evening, because I don't want to just get started in point four and then have to stop here after I get really rolling into it, and then I'll just pick it up again, and then you'll get upset that I repeat. So we'll start here next week, and thanks for just the conversation. Be in prayer about Amsterdam. Be in prayer what we ought to be doing and taking and preparing for. If you get any ideas, let me know, and we'll get these things done. Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it is so vital that our view of you is one that is truth. For we must worship you in the power of the Spirit and in truth. And in truth means in truth to who and what you are. God, that you really are. Father, we pray that your Spirit will continue to open our eyes as to who and what you are, who and what your Son is. If we study John 5, where our Savior's whole understanding of himself is as he relates to you. And Father, we need to do that in our own lives. The whole understanding of ourselves is as we relate to your Son and your Spirit and to you. Father, we praise you in Christ's name. Amen.